Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This was the first day of school for in-person learning in Prince George's County since the beginning of the pandemic. It could have been almost a perfect day were it not for the school bus driver shortage. That's just one of the issues we're going to be discussing tonight with Dr. Juanita Miller. She is the chair of the Prince George's County School Board. We're talking about all things school system tonight in Prince George's County. If you have a comment or a question for Dr. Miller, give us a call. Lines are open right now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Miller, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you for the invitation, Harold.
Absolutely. Let me first ask you about your impression of today. I'm sure you were out and about.
Oh, yes. It was such a successful and exciting day. I traveled with the CEO, Dr. Monica Golson, to a couple of schools this morning. We started out at the Deer Run Elementary School in Laurel, and the students were so excited. Even the parents were excited. And it appeared that the students were just glad to be back, to get out and see their peers. And then there were those who, this was their first time in school. And what was interesting is when we did the tour of the building, and observed classes, there were students who were, before the pandemic, were in the first grade, and now they're third graders. And it was just a delight for them and a challenge as well because of the restrictions posed by the COVID and having to wear masks. But they kept the mask on, and they were very responsive. The teachers were excited, too. So it was a great day. It really was.
Let me ask you, obviously, the elephant in the room is the school bus driver shortage. The head of the transportation department, Dr. Saunders, sending out that alert to parents saying that they need to pitch in because as of that notice, some 190, there's a shortage of 190 school bus drivers. This is affecting routes all across the county. From your perspective, how can that be fixed?
Well, we have to find bus drivers. This is a problem not just in Prince George's County, but throughout the state of Maryland. And it's very difficult recruiting. We have training programs for individuals who are interested in coming into our system to get their to get trained to get their CDL, and once they start, you know, we're good to go. What happens though with our county is that we're not as competitive as other counties or as with Metro, and once we've provided the training, we have a tendency to have a turnover. Right now, we are about 190 bus drivers short. So if you know anyone who's willing to go through the training, we're open to it. They will be trained and employed immediately after passing the exam and getting the CDL.
You said that the county is not as competitive as other counties. Why?
Salary-wise.
Explain that if you can.
It's the salary. We are not paying as much as our salary is not as attractive as that of Metro. And we're offering free training here. Mm-hmm. And once they get the training and stay for whatever designated time they're mandated to stay after we provide that training, then they find more lucrative positions as bus drivers with Metro or other school systems that have higher pay rates.
I wouldn't expect that you would compete with Metro. I understand that. But from an outsider's point of view, it would seem commonsensical to do something about the pay to make you competitive with other school districts.
Well, that's where the board comes into play. And that's where we look at our budget each year. And that's something that we would need to address as a board.
I see. We're talking to
Dr. We have more than 1,200 school buses, and we have all of this new technology, and that it has improved driver efficiency and the student safety on and off the buses. So, and we even have GPS-enabled tablets that help to provide accurate real-time data for drivers. So, and we also have a new mobile app which will help parents monitor bus location and schedules. So we've done a lot to improve our system, bus system. It's just that we can't find the bus drivers.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Dr. Juanita Miller. She is the chair of the Prince George's County School Board. We're talking all things Prince George's County Schools tonight. If you have a comment, if you have a question for the chair of the Prince George's County School Board, give us a call right now. Lines are open. Dr. Miller, I did want to also ask you about your impressions of, you know, kind of the COVID protocols, Prince George's County. Just starting today, just in the District of Columbia, there is a report that an entire sixth grade class at Johnson Middle School has to quarantine because of one positive COVID case. 847 teachers across the district had to quarantine since school started just last week. Chancellor Lewis Ferebee has said that they are prepared to do a pivot if necessary. Is Prince George's County prepared to do a similar COVID pivot should it be presented with these kinds of COVID-related challenges?
Yes, I can answer yes to that. Prince George's County has implemented a universal mask wearing for all schools and offices. The COVID-19 vaccination and testing policies and strict cleaning and sanitizing protocols are all in place. All employees are required to either show proof of COVID vaccination or undergo weekly testing. And we're working in collaboration with the Maryland State Department of Health and Safety to hold vaccine clinics at middle schools later this month. There's also going to be a random COVID testing later on in this month. I don't want to speak too much about it because that's something that the CEO is going to roll out in a couple of weeks or by next week, I believe. And she could entertain that issue more for you if necessary. Is there questions relative to that rollout?
I also want to ask you about the school board meetings in and of themselves. I've had a chance to watch them with great interest. And as an outsider, as taking on the role of someone who might be looking at this through a parent's eyes, and the consternation and the infighting and the terse and obtuse words between board members and yourself, what should parents think about this?
Parents should think about what our school system is offering their scholars. The school, Prince George's County school system, has a multitude of programs and services to address the needs of all of our students. The 132,000 students who did return to in-person learning for 5 days a week this today. The focus should remain on what services, what programs, what services and programs will be provided to our scholars, and well, that's focus right now,
but
and that's what the parents there are issues such as we just mentioned, the busing. What are we going to do if there's an outbreak? Are we prepared? And I did share with you, yes. So my position at this point in time is for parents to focus on what's going on in the schoolhouse. That's what's important.
But if, and I think that is a laudable consideration, but in watching the school board meetings, that does not appear to be what the school board meetings are focused on. The school board meetings appear to be focused on infighting. How can you ask parents to focus on the scholars and all of the things that you are suggesting when it does not appear that the school board meetings are focused on the same?
Again, Mr. Fisher, is that the Prince George's County Public Schools is offering a variety of services and programs. Our parents have enough to deal with in terms of assuring that their students are getting the academic that they are, and that they send them to the schoolhouse to achieve. And I really can't address adult behavior on the board at this point in time. As long as it does not impact the work of the personnel, teachers, administrators, and other school personnel, we can move forward. We have a strong school system. We have a strong and dynamic leader in our CEO. And so that's where the focus should be. How are our tax dollars, and I say our because I'm a taxpayer as well, mm-hmm. How are our tax dollars being utilized in the school system? And are we using those dollars wisely? And I would say yes. For historical purposes, this is the first time in years that the school system is building six new schools. We talk about some buildings being overcrowded. Those are the issues that I would be more concerned with as opposed to adults and what appears to be dysfunctional or distracting behavior. Let's focus on the school, the academics, and the personnel that are providing services and resources to our scholars.
So you would agree that the activities on the board as it stands right now, at least based on that the last meeting in August, that it does appear to be dysfunctional and it would give a lay parent some concern about the leadership on the board from no matter what your position may be.
So what's your question?
Well, that I'm asking, would you deem it dysfunctional and would give a lay parent, a lay person concern?
I'm going to respond to that by saying I was appointed to serve as the chair on that board based on my many years as an educator and a professional. And it is my intent to focus on facilitating the work of the board with integrity and professionalism. And that is what my role, as I see it, is as the leader. The dysfunction, as one people want to refer to it, I just believe that there's a need for maybe some in-house I'll say staff development, for lack of a better term, and working on conflict resolution, that we can do. And that's a part of what we're trying to do to get past this, quote, this labeling of being dysfunctional.
Let me go to the phone lines. Charles, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Charles. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is I'm listening to
Charles,
the conversation.
Charles, we can't hear you. Go right ahead. Charles, try it again.
Yeah, can you hear me now, sir?
Go right ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm listening to the conversation, and the one thing that I'm having a problem with is when you guys are talking about bus drivers.
Yes, sir.
There's not enough bus drivers. to drive the buses and drive these students around. One of the reasons why there's not enough bus drivers is because managers and supervisors are terrible. They treat their bus drivers like garbage. They don't treat their bus drivers right. A lot of bus drivers, if you sit down and talk to them, and I wish the doctor would, the doctor will understand that managers and supervisors are treating bus drivers like garbage, and the bus drivers don't want to work for them. The bus drivers don't want to drive for management that treat them like garbage.
Okay.
You know, and it's just not right to – that's not being addressed as I'm listening to the conversation, and that's something that needs to be addressed. People need to hear that.
Okay. Charles, thank you so much. Quick comment about that, Dr. Miller, interesting point.
I have no comment because I have no data on complaints relative to bus drivers being mistreated or disrespected. So that would be worth investigating, but I am not aware of that issue.
Okay.
The biggest issue I am aware of is that it's hard finding eligible personnel to drive bus.
Okay. Let me go to Daryl. Daryl calling from Temple Hills. Daryl, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
My question is that what are the incentives that they're trying to give the bus drivers to come back to take these kids? A pay increase, a bonus, you know, to get these kids to and from school. I mean, as a bus driver myself for a different county, I know that the frustration in the bus drivers is that they're not getting paid enough.
Well, Daryl, let me see if Dr. Miller can address that real quick before I go to a break. Dr. Miller, and we kind of touched on that a little bit earlier, but please go right ahead, Dr. Miller.
That's all I can say is that we just have to make our salaries more competitive, and that's something that the board would have to look at when we start discussing our budget for the fiscal year.
Okay. Daryl, thank you so much.
Okay. All right, but you had a whole year to look at that budget, and you knew what was going on with the COVID, and you knew that you're going to be short on drivers because a lot of drivers has not returned. So what's the problem? Who the executive decision is that, okay, let's try to get our bus drivers more money. We don't need to spend all this money on GPSs and everything. We need to take care of our employees instead of worrying about finding a route for having GPSs on the buses. I understand the red light cameras. Yes, we definitely need that. But what we need is a stability as far as pay raise. You know, what about hazard pay? You know,
Daryl, I've got to take a break. But thank you so much for your phone call, Dr. Miller. There's some other folks who want to talk to you. Can you spare a few extra minutes?
Sure.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Need to take a quick break. If you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking to Dr. Juanita Miller. She is the chair of the Prince George's County School Board. This is the first day of in-school learning for Prince George's County schools. Like a lot of school systems across the state, across the country, back in the classroom for the first time since the pandemic shutdown. If you have a comment, if you have a question for Dr. Miller, you can give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, Dr. Miller, that gentleman, he did make an interesting point. And let me just say in, you know, your defense on... You know, on one hand, you said, yes, the budget certainly is, you know, part of the purview of the school board. Some of these issues would perhaps be, you know, better answered by Dr. Golson, the CEO of the Prince George's County School System. But certainly, you know, brought to your attention because you are in a leadership position. Did he have a point as it relates to the fact that we knew that we had bus drivers who were resigning, retiring, well before we got to this point?
You're asking me, did she know? I can't answer that. She's aware that we do, you know, the budget. She's aware that the salary of our bus drivers is not competitive with other surrounding jurisdictions. Now, as a matter of fact, the budget season is upon us, and we will, when I say we, that is the board, will be, and I will take this information from the caller under advisement in terms of looking at the training of supervisors, looking at the pay, hazardous pay. This guy said something about hazardous pay. All of those will be taken under consideration, and we will just have to look at whether that will be something that will be feasible.
And to that point, I mean, one of the things that the other gentleman did mention, he was talking about, you know, the management style for those people who were in leadership positions within the transportation system. And as you said, no, you don't necessarily have any information about that. But isn't that also something that should also at least be investigated, looked into? You know, how are the rank and file being treated, that if you can't give them more money, at least trying to make the workplace more palatable?
Well, that is something we will look. Believe me, I will look into, and we'll be. And I'm sure Dr. Galson is listening in. That will be something we will collaborate on and have investigated.
I hope she is, because we look forward to speaking to her again. And what to that other issue as it relates to, you know, the dysfunction? You talked about conflict resolution and staff development. What would you recommend to address the issues on the board in reference to conflict resolution, staff development? I mean, these are political animals. You yourself are a political animal, Doctor.
No, I am not. I am a public servant.
And yes, you were appointed by a political office,
and I am a public servant, and I do not like to have our school system politicized. That sometimes can be the problem. We, as I said earlier, we have an excellent school system. And when you start throwing the politics in there, then that's where you get this dysfunction sometimes.
Dr. Miller, if I may.
Okay.
Now, you know that over the past several months, there has been actual a call from at least one side, perhaps two sides, to have the governor intervene into the dysfunction on the school board. I think it would be truly disingenuous for you to say that this is not a political issue.
I didn't say it's not a political issue. I corrected you when you said I've been a politician, and I said I'm a public servant, and I have served in a political position.
Right.
Okay, and I did state that it appears that our school system has been politicized with, as you just mentioned, politics.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're on the same page. Maybe a different paragraph.
Okay, so... As I asked, how do you believe that this dysfunction should be addressed? You talked about all of these other things that were, you know, happening about the building of the, you know, the new schools and all of these things. These things happened under, Dr. Alvin Thornton. So he left. You came in. What happened from your perspective? What happened? Why now? I mean, this is a new a new job, a new position for you?
Harold, I've been an educator. I was an educator. I'll be an educator for life. And I have served in all capacities, as many capacities, in a school system. So I bring a wealth of experience, expertise as well. And I was brought in to share that expertise. And the dysfunction didn't begin when I got there. It was already there. So now, and as I share with people who ask me, why did I come out of retirement to take on this position? I said, because I care about the integrity of our school system and our county. Furthermore, I have lots of experience in working with special needs populations. That was a big part of my career. So I'm just trying to exercise, along with my colleagues, that to bring about a change. And sometimes people are resistant to change. And what do you do? I mean, when you have folks that are resistant to change, that there comes conflict. So with that conflict, what do we do? Let's try to resolve it. Let's work together. Let's collaborate. It's going to take time. I just started in January. Dr. Thornton was there for 2 years. And whatever took place during those 2 years, I usually refer to it as a cancer. That cancer was there. It's just that when Dr. Miller came in, the cancer was exposed. So with that being said, we're working together because we've got to make sure our system doesn't implode from all of the news media and inaccurate stories and all of that. I'm here as a representative of Prince George's County, as well as the Prince George's County Public School System and the School Board of Education. And we're here to provide governance over the school system. And we're going to pull it together at some point.
You spoke about inaccurate stories. Give me an example, because this is the first time you've been on this program, at least on my program, on my newscast. We have not done a lot. I can't remember actually doing a lot of coverage on the complexities since you have been appointed. So what is inaccurate? And I'll give you an opportunity to correct the record right now.
Well, first of all, Harold,
yes,
I haven't given any interviews. And to be very honest with you, it's because you are your mother's child and your mother's...
My mother has nothing whatsoever to do with the job. And I know that you and my mother are well acquainted, but let me be very, very, very clear.
No, wait a minute.
Don't bring my mama in this conversation.
Okay.
I asked you about you talked about the news coverage, and you've not been on this program. This is the first time. And so, as I said, what has been inaccurate? And I'm giving you an opportunity to correct the record.
When you say what has not been.
Yes, you said inaccurate news coverage.
Well, it has been.
So give me an example and I'll give you an opportunity to correct the record.
Well, to correct the record, the media has been putting out that I'm the cause, that Dr. Miller is the cause of this dysfunction. And since I've been on the board, this dysfunction has been taking place for years prior to my coming here. It's just that my leadership has exposed what the problem is. And what that problem is, we're trying to work through and resolve. So I did not bring dysfunction to the Prince George's County Public School Board of Education. It was already there. And we talked about politics earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Politics did have something to do with the number of the voting blocks that we have now. Two new board members came on board, and that changed the That changed the board in terms of its power structure. And so you have a majority vote, and Well, that's the best way I can address that at this time.
So about that, the voting blocks, one of the things I find fascinating about any criticism of voting blocks, whether it's a school board or a city council or Congress, you may have a voting block on the school board. You have the Freedom Caucus in Congress. You have the Congressional Black Caucus. You have the Hispanic Caucus. You have the Democrats. You have the Republicans. They can do that. Now, there are people who may not like it, but that's the way the system works. And so I'm not sure I'm clear as to if it works against, you know, your particular interests, you know, on the board, you know, they were elected. I'm not sure. I mean, you may not like it, but it kind of is what it is.
Well, it's not about what I like. It's about what's right and what's in the best interest of how our tax dollars are being used, and in terms of how our tax dollars are being used and how we govern our school system. Now, there is a policy. We have a policy against having a voting bloc. And it has been determined that that has been violated. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. I can go on and on, but I'm not at this point because I'm not at liberty to talk about those violations. But that the fact that my leadership, along with, and not just Juanita Miller, but there are six other members on that board. There are 14 members on that board, and there are six members who support the agenda that we provide to our the agenda that we implement for our school district, and that is to provide the governance of school policy or the implementation of school policy and procedures. And well, I'll leave it at that without saying too much.
Well, I think I appreciate you coming on. I'm not offended by you mentioning my mother, but like I said, my mother has nothing to do with my job.
And I didn't say that.
I know.
You took it in a whole different direction, and I apologize.
There's no need to apologize at all.
But I was sharing with you that I have not given interviews because this seems to be, rather than the focus being on what our school system needs to continue to thrive and to thrive, the focus always goes to the and I hate to keep using that word, but the dysfunction of the school board. We provide oversight over the school system and work collaboratively with the CEO. And that is what my objective is, along with the other board members, elected and appointed.
Well, Dr. Juanita Miller, thank you so much for your time. Good luck. And I hope that we'll be talking again.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. When we come back, we'll talk to Shayla Stafford. She's a member of the school board. We'll hear what she has to say in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the Prince George's County school system. First day of in-person learning. Joining me now, Shayla Stafford, school board member representing District 4. Ms. Stafford, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me this evening.
So let me ask you about the issue of the problems with the school board. And I, you know, I, as I don't know why we keep bringing up my mother. As my mother would say, I don't have a nickel in that quarter. Okay. But there does seem to be a great deal of consternation in fighting dysfunction. And from a parent's point of view, what is a parent to think about the way that, that this infighting is going?
Yeah, well, first I just want to say thank you so much for having me on this program. As a parent of two Howard students that met at Howard, it's very special to me. They're listening right now, so thank you so much for having me. You know, when I think about what's happening right now on the board, I think for a lot of parents, I think the genuine focus needs to be on really our students and our school system, and the fact that we do have a CEO who has really led during this pandemic. I'll say that, you know, if you take a step back and look at the board, most people would be surprised to know that we do agree on a lot of things, particularly, not always, but a lot of times when it comes to policies for students. However, what we disagree on is whether an unelected appointed minority should govern or an elected majority should govern. And that's really where you see the sort of root of a lot of the conflict. As you know, we have a hybrid board structure, which is unique. And I think that that does contribute to a lot of the tension. However, in spite of all of that, with the new elected majority that has come on board since January, we've passed a lot of really good policies that help some of our most vulnerable students. For example, Equity Learning Hubs, which provided in-person learning support for students for which, you know, virtual learning was really a struggle for them and their families, providing funding for our schools that, you know, have traditionally been underfunded, over $10 million, funding for mental health support, and the list goes on. So, you know, it's kind of hard to see through some of the procedural things we're, you know, often going back and forth about. But I'd also like to mention to parents, if they moved to another city in America, their school board probably, I'd give them a 90% chance to say that that school board would also be fighting. School boards nationally are, as I like to say, on fire about masks, about vaccinations, about curriculum. We just happen to be fighting over some of the items that I just mentioned. So,
but if I may, Ms. Stafford, I disagree. This looks personal. This isn't, you guys aren't fighting over masks and vaccinations.
No, that's I'm sorry.
Right, I know. You're not elsewhere. You're in Prince George's County. You're not fighting over those things.
Right.
You guys are fighting over each other. There is finger pointing. This ethics thing is ugly. Let's be
sure. We can talk about that. And so, what I just want to be clear on what I said. So, you know, what I said was nationally,
right? I get, yeah,
across
I understand
the country
that.
Are
yes.
You know, they're bickering and fighting over so many issues. We, as I mentioned, are fighting over a very specific issue: is whether or not an unelected appointed minority should govern or an elected majority that represents 75% of the voters in our county sent us to vote. And sent us to do this work of governing our school system. And so a lot of the bickering back and forth is over that core issue. However, what I will say is, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, you brought up the ethics report, which was, you know, if you read the Washington Post article, you know, it really went into line by line how error-riddled it was. And so, you know, the back and forth, I think that a lot of that tension was caused, you know, as you saw earlier this year, when in an unprecedented move, the entire Board of Education was shut down.
Yes.
You know, right in the middle of the height of the pandemic, when we're trying to pass our $2 billion budget and bring students back to school. And that's the time where we need to be focusing on students. You know, I'm a former educator, was an educator for many, many years. I worked in education, and this is not why I got involved, right? I got involved to try to make our school system number one. because I really believe that we can. And right now, that's not where we are. And so for me, as I mentioned, it's really about education policy. It's about putting our students and our parents first. And that's really it.
So a couple of things. First of all, the hybrid board, that happened under County Executive Rashearn Baker. That was, you know, one of the things that, you know, that he pushed. But I believe it was, 2013 or so. So, but anybody coming in afterwards, running for office, you kind of know what you're dealing with, that it is what it is, and short of changes coming out of Annapolis, isn't it a little, why try to change something that you don't have? I don't know. It just seems to me, I get it. Yes, it's, as you said, and I like your choice of words, it is unique. That's probably not my choice of words, but it is a unique structure for a school board.
It's absolutely unique.
Yeah.
And what I'll say is that I think what we're seeing is really why we need an all-elected board, a board that is responsible to the people. When you don't like someone who's in office that you voted in, the way democracy works, as you know, is that you can vote them out. And that's really who the elected official is beholden to. But, you know, when you have an appointed versus an elected structure, that is sort of where, you know, it gets a bit tricky. And so
Absolutely.
What I'll say is that I think, you know, what we hear, you know, and what I hear, you know, just as an elected official is that, you know, people want their vote to matter, right? People want to have that connection to someone who's their neighbor, who is going to go up and be a part of this system to really improve education for their students. And that's why people take pride in having a vote. And when that's threatened, people are upset about that.
But it seems, and that's the point, because it seems that right now the Shayla Staffords and the Edward Burroughs and the like are now have to focus on defending themselves instead of focusing on, you know, defending themselves against accusations as opposed
to accusations. Well,
yeah,
I think that folks that use Google and read the article are pretty able to read and see that, you know, this is clearly like a political, it was clearly political. And it had nothing to do with students.
But that's my point.
It's so sad. That's not really why. I know that's not why I rant.
Right.
To be, you know, dealing with this going back and forth over things that are just so provably false. It's like, you know, why did they do this? So I think that it's important to note that, you know, everything that was said, you know, can be easily debunked. It was, you know, proven to be error riddled. So we really need to move now into hopefully a healing process to, you know, convince, you know, our colleagues and others to, you know, stop with these, you know, dirty political attacks, and really focus on kids.
So how do you do that? How do you fix it? Because at least right now, there doesn't seem to be any stomach in Annapolis, any political will to change things back.
I disagree there. So I'm actually planning our board retreat, where I think that we have, you know, people on the board have signed up to be a part of this. We're going to spend a lot of time focusing on conflict mediation, really getting to some of the root causes of what's happened here, and among some other things, thinking about board governance, our roles and responsibilities. Those are all important points that we should be focusing on as a board, thinking about student achievement. So I think that's on the horizon. You know, I think it has been a big adjustment period. As, you know, our board chair mentioned, you know, the election of 2020 did shift the power dynamic on the board. And so a lot of people were not ready for that to happen, to have a group of young people really come in with progressive policies and ideas and really wanting to move those things forward.
The thing I was referring to was So you're saying there is the political will and appetite in Annapolis to change things back to a fully elected board?
Well, I can't speak for members of the delegation.
Right, that's what I was saying. There doesn't appear to be that kind of political will.
I mean, I think what the people want someone who is going to be responsible to them. When someone calls their elected official to talk about an issue that they're having with their students, and they know that this person is going to really have that listening ear and take those concerns seriously, I think that people care about that. And I think that's what we really need to focus this conversation on, is we need to focus this on students and thinking about how we are going to make our school district number one. You know, one thing that I'm really proud of with our school district right now is the fact that we're really the only district in the state that is offering a comprehensive virtual learning option. I think so many parents are happy about the fact that if they register for their child in K-6, Dr. Golson has made it possible for them to experience virtual learning. Now, not everyone was able to get into this program, but, you know, that's something unique that we're offering. I also am hoping, and something that I brought up at our last board meeting, even though it got shut down, was that we will come up with some type of preventative testing plan. That's something that other board members and I are extremely concerned about, thinking about how can we ensure that as students go back to school, if they do indeed have COVID, how we can get ahead of that so it doesn't spread. You know, let's focus on the issues. You know, there are other, you know, major initiatives that I know myself and other board members are going to be working with the administration on. But that's really what I'm interested in.
Well, I want to thank Shayla Stafford, school board member, District 4 in Prince George's County, for taking some time with us and kind of hashing out these issues. We also want to thank Dr. Juanita Miller, the chair of the Prince George's County School Board, for joining us earlier in the program. We will continue to listen carefully and hopefully that all of these issues will continue to work out. And, of course, not only the bus issue, COVID, education, as the Prince George's County School System moves forward. So thank you. I appreciate
you. Absolutely. And one other point I wanted to make.
I'm so out of time. I cannot. I am 5-4-3-2-1. But thank you so much. I appreciate it. We'll talk again. That is the Daily Drum on this Wednesday, September 8th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.